Coming up on KUCB News, a date has been set for Unalaska's mayoral recall election and how climate change may affect health in Alaska. Stay tuned.
Local News is sponsored by Alpha Welding and Boat Repair Incorporated, providing boat repairs and conversions in Unalaska Dutch Harbor for the last 25 years. Our professionals are trained to use heavy-duty equipment, including boom trucks, shears, brakes, a water jet cutting machine, and a punch machine. Our fully equipped metal fabrication welding shop and machine shop are located at 1149 East Broadway. Alpha Welding and Boat Repair can be reached at 581-1785 or 581-2666.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Zoe Sobel with some local news on Wednesday, January 10th, 2018. The recall election of Mayor Frank Kelty is set for March 6th. A recall petition signed by 172 community members seeks to remove him due to allegations of misconduct in office, specifically attempting to sole source land use agreements for the Unalaska Marine Center positions 5 through 7. Kelty has repeatedly denied any wrongdoing. The petition effort was led by 9 sponsors, including Ryan Burke, Aaron Enlow, Jeff Triani, Clint Hewling, Robert Marcourt, Lena Siverson, Christina Chamberlain, Jason Gates, and Amanda Gates. Kelty has said he does not plan to appeal the recall effort, but if he changes his mind, he has until January 25th to file an appeal with the Alaska Superior Court. KUCB has been looking into the allegations against Kelty, and we'll have stories on that and how a recall works next week. At last night's City Council meeting, the Council also okayed a contract extension with interim City Manager Nancy Peterson. Now she will stay on through mid-February. And Peterson informed the Council that as of January 4th, there have been 13 more applications for the City Manager position, and one of those may be someone the Council wants to add to their pool of qualified candidates. Early last month, the council decided to hold off on their original timeline for hiring a city manager because of the lack of a good pool of applicants. At that time, the pool had dwindled from 8 qualified applicants to 3. The council plans to do an initial round of interviews the first week in February. The city will also be in the market for a new director of public safety. Peterson announced that at the end of the month, Mike Holman will be stepping down from his post after being on staff for 23 years. And on the fire side, Senior Fire Captain Mike Hansen is filling in as interim fire chief until that post is filled. The former fire chief, Arlie Colvin, resigned late last month. Peterson has said filling this role is a top priority, and the city will be accepting applications for the fire chief position until February 6th. The City Council also appointed Dennis Robinson as the inaugural vice mayor. The vice mayor steps into the role of mayor should the office become vacant or if the mayor is absent. Robinson will hold the post until the next regular election. The Unalaska girls basketball team plays their first home games of the season this week. Today we hear from Casey Clausius, who is in his third year coaching the girls program. KUCB sat down with him to discuss what to expect this year. Clausius starts by looking back at the end of last season where the team lost to Dillingham, narrowly missing out on a bid to the state tournament.
And it wasn't because of the lack of effort. It was just some shots didn't go our way down the stretch. We ended up losing by a few points. You know, we were that close. You could taste it. We were that close from getting our state appearance, which we haven't done in quite a long time, and I'm just so proud of the girls for wanting to buy into that and starting up this year is the same goals as wanting to try to get there and wanting to try to be competitive and work hard the whole game.
Tell me about your team this year.
We only lost one senior from last year, so this year we actually gained like 6 players, and then we have all the returners back. So it's kind of a great start to the season so far with girls. They know what to do, and they're looking to try to get an itch of playing more games, wanting to play.
Let's talk a little bit more about those players. Are there any players in particular that we should look out for?
Probably the Villamore sisters are 2 people, Kiara Villamore and Kayla Villamore. Haley Wilson as well as one of our leading scorers. Those three are our top scorers so far if you're looking for offense. But defense contributing and making good passes with Alexis Magalong and Mia McWilliams have also put in there. And then you have the two Tungle cousins, Allery and Alyssa Tungle. They played a lot and like to have the ball in their hands down low.
Do you have any predictions of how things are going to turn out or goals for what you would like to see from this season?
We're not expecting anything. We're not I'm going to promise anything, but we just want to go game to game to make sure that we're just staying focused on right now it's Petersburg. And then the next games will be somebody else.
Okay, and so let's talk about this weekend facing off against Petersburg. Anything to expect?
There are definitely some of you should worry about. Just two or three years ago, they won state at the 2A level. And this year, I've noticed they're 1-3, one win, three losses. So I really don't know what to expect from them, honestly. We're going to have to find out on Friday night to try to make some adjustments going to Saturday, but it would definitely be nice getting two wins this weekend and kind of showing everybody in the state what we can do. And then just keep on playing hard, and hopefully if our goals are set right and we are staying focused on what we want to do and our we're investing our time, I think we could have a chance at possibly doing a little more damage.
Reading into your words a little bit, by doing more damage, do you mean qualifying for states this year?
Oh, there's no expectations on that, but that's definitely our team goal, that's for sure.
You can catch the girls' first home game Friday at 8 p.m. against Petersburg. KUCB will be airing live coverage of all four home games this weekend on 89.7 FM. How will climate change affect health in Alaska? Dangerous travel conditions could cause more accidents, warmer temperatures could spread new diseases, and the topsy-turvy weather could worsen mental health. Those are some conclusions from a new state report released Monday. Rachel Waldholz from Alaska's Energy Desk has more.
The report from the State Health Department tries to predict the effects if current climate forecasts hold true. Sarah Yoder is the lead author. She says she was a little taken aback by what they found.
The surprise was just how broad exactly all these potential health impacts are.
Impacts from infrastructure damage to new diseases. The report notes that thawing permafrost can disrupt water and sewer lines, undermine health clinics, and damage roads, making access to health care and basic sanitation more difficult. Thinner sea and river ice can make travel and subsistence hunting more dangerous. More wildfires can worsen air quality. Warmer temperatures could allow the spread of insects carrying Lyme disease or the West Nile virus. These are all predictions for the future. But state epidemiologist Joe McLaughlin says the future may already be here.
We may, in fact, be already seeing some impacts of climate change here in Alaska. But the challenge is that many of these potential impacts have not been well studied and definitively linked to climate change.
Then there are the impacts on mental health, like solastalgia. If you're saying sola what, you are not alone. McLaughlin says he hadn't heard the term before the research for this report. But when he did stumble across it, he says he found it kind of perfect.
When I describe to people in my community, people that I know, sort of, I help them put a word to what they're feeling, and they say, ah, yeah, that's it. That's what I feel.
The report describes solastalgia as the sense of loss people experience because of unwanted environmental changes to their homes, disorienting shifts that can lead to anxiety and depression. So, okay, but is it real?
Just talk to some of your friends and neighbors here in Anchorage and just ask them how do they feel about the last several winters.
Or on the more severe end, it can define the stress for an entire community facing relocation. Ultimately, McLaughlin says climate change is a different kind of public health challenge than, say, a mumps outbreak.
This is going to be a marathon, so you have to look at this more as a marathon and not a sprint.
He says the impacts of climate change will unfold over decades, but the time to start planning is now. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Rachel Waldholz in Anchorage.
the state of Alaska doesn't have enough criminal attorneys and is struggling to prosecute violent crimes. That's according to officials within the Department of Law. Budget reductions have cut the department to unsustainable levels, according to a prosecutor working in one of the most strained jurisdictions in the state. As Alaska Public Media's Zachariah Hughes reports, the cuts are being felt most acutely in parts of the state that are also seeing a jump in violent crime.
Here's a figure that stands out. Over the last 3 years, the Department of Law has cut nearly a quarter of its staff handling criminal and civil cases. That includes prosecutors, paralegals, and support staff. Deputy Attorney General Rob Henderson says that that is making it harder to enforce laws covering everything from murder to child protection.
There are some offenses that we haven't been able to try for lack of resources.
The department has shed 22 prosecutors across the state, shrinking some offices and closing others. Officials tried to spread staff reductions evenly across the state, but crime has risen unevenly, something it took time for the department's data to show. Anchorage and Western Alaska have seen disproportionate increases, and it's not just the volume, it's the severity of the crimes being reported. Anchorage, for example, set a record for homicides in 2017, the second year in a row. Those are complicated cases, tying prosecutorial resources up further, which means there is less capacity for handling lower priority cases, including offenses the public still cares a lot about, like car theft, domestic assault, and kidnapping. And this is just one symptom of a statewide problem.
Our numbers of felonies have gone up substantially over the past year.
Tom Jamgoshian is an assistant district attorney in Nome. He's been a prosecutor in the bush for a decade, but over the past year, he's seen an increase in vehicular homicides, domestic violence assaults, and felony DUIs.
Those are the broad categories that have all seen a significant spike.
Resources in rural Alaska are already spread thin, with small district attorney's offices and hub towns like Nome or Bethel that are responsible for cases across dozens of communities. The Nome office shares resources with its counterpart in Kotzebue. Since Jamgoshian started his job a few years ago, they've lost a third of their staff. But the caseloads keep climbing. The prosecutor in Kotzebue has roughly 900 cases coming across her desk each year. That's between 3 and 6 times the nationally recommended caseload. Overwhelmed attorneys like Jamgoshian are becoming increasingly selective about what they bring to trial, opting not to charge as many nuisance offenses like trespassing and disorderly conduct.
They're not the most serious case, but they do significantly affect the quality of life for the residents of this region. We're simply not able to prosecute that type of case as much as we did in the past.
But that isn't all. The cuts at the Department of Law have taken place at the same time as cuts at the Department of Public Safety, which includes the state troopers. Those budget cuts have hampered routine travel to outlying communities. In the past, troopers aimed to cultivate relationships and a presence through community patrols. Now, they're largely restricted to flyouts only in response to new incidents. Jamgoshian says that makes it harder to gather evidence and build strong cases, especially for certain kinds of offenses.
Crimes that would have been reported, domestic violence crimes, either aren't being reported, or if they are reported, there's a delay in reporting because the trooper just isn't there. And, of course, a delayed report for a domestic violence crime frequently affects whether or not we're able to charge it.
As the state cuts budgets, local communities with their own fiscal constraints are being asked to shoulder more of the burden. Seneca Thino is Anchorage's municipal prosecutor. Her office handles misdemeanors in the city, things like shoplifting, trespassing, or vandalism. More serious, violent, and felony-level crimes are referred up to her state counterparts at the Department of Law, or at least they should be. But Thino says that normal process is not working, like a recent case that appeared to be kidnapping.
An individual who had been detained in a truck escaped and ran for help, eventually was dragged back to the vehicle and was threatened, was punched repeatedly. And that was a case that we tried to refer as well.
The response from the state?
The response back was that those types of cases are very difficult and there wasn't an interest in taking it.
For privacy reasons, Thino can't identify any of the individuals involved. The Walker administration is asking the legislature to fund 5 additional prosecutors this budget cycle. Those may get the department a little bit closer to its previous staffing levels, but there's no evidence violent crime is slowing down. In Anchorage, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
And that's the news from Onalaska. I'm Zoe Sobel. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org. Please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecast.